The White Angel. The great battle raged through the dimensions and spilled onto Earth, where the tempest roared over fields marked for combat until the appetite for war was sated. Then, through the smoke hanging, there came a veil of silence to encircle a solitary tree standing tall amidst the desolation. And it was into this quiet space that she came. The white angel embraced the tree of many branches and held it close to her until it was at peace. Then she extended her left hand up into the heavens, and with her right she touched each branch as she circled, round and round the tree, her rotations increasing in velocity as she descended from the top of the tree to its base. And there she did not stop. The white angel continued spiraling into the soil of Mother Earth, deeper and deeper still, until every root was pulled from its bed and into the sky. Throughout the night she flew, shaking soil from the tree freshly drawn from the depths of Mother Earth, over battlefields still smoking. It was in this way that she consecrated the slain and slaughtered to the arms of God. And in the night of her coming, the spirits of humans and grasses and flowers and beasts and all things created were released to the light. Then, to ensure the plan that had been set in place, the white angel fashioned from every branch and twig and portion of the majestic magical tree an instrument of immense beauty, an instrument of peace. From each branch and twig, she fashioned a flute. The rising sun followed her path, and it was sure, deliberate. Each space of earth marked by the white angel was a forest, and rocks, and boulders, and moving water. At each sacred site she placed a flute, and with every flute dispersed, she left a piece of her spirit. She set the last flute, designated for earth, on a rock at the edge of a mountain stream. And the piece of her spirit that was to remain with the flute slipped beneath the surface of a pool of water that held the golden reflection of the setting sun. And with the crescent moon she ascended the sky, departing the confines of earth, carrying the remaining flutes with her to dimensions beyond. With great speed, the flutes were dispensed to all dimensions throughout all time. And by the light of the rising sun, the white angel returned to earth, to the place in the forest, amidst rocks and boulders and moving water. And there, where she had left the last of the earth flutes, she slipped into a pool at the base of a step waterfall and waited for the warrior. The warrior. He rose up from the field of battle. His mighty arms hung limp and lifeless at his side. His eyes stung with tears of fatigue. His heart tore at the sight of desolation, and his stomach boiled from the stench of bloodshed. In desperation, he called out, and his call shook the very earth beneath him. "I gave my sweat and my blood and everything within me so that you might be free. Where is the victory in this darkness?" It was in this hour of shadows that he heard the whisper. From deep within, the voice called to him, and in the message he found purpose and promise of new life. The words were barely discernible from his own thoughts, but they rang with truth. "O noble warrior, you have lifted the burden of the weary and the sword of the weak. Now it is you who is weakened by the battle and wearied by the fight. But the power within you will not be diminished on earth or by earth, for you are noble of birth, royal by right. Walk, noble warrior, into the night. Walk, noble warrior. Remember the light." The warrior drew new life from the whispered message, and in his weakest moment, found the strength to walk. As he walked, he beheld the wages of war, and it was as dismal as the years of the great battle had been long. Still he walked. His destination was not set within him, yet the journey felt familiar, so he continued in search of the light. As he walked, he noticed fields, once darkened by battle, sprouting new life. And not long after this observation, he heard the call of birds. It was but a short time later that he noticed the air was no longer heavy with smoke. It was light, and it was sweet. His pace quickened. His spirit leapt to a new space. He felt powerful. He felt the energy of life once again. And in this way, the whispered message led him to the foot of the mountain. The warrior heard the voice, and as the voice was within him, the whispered words became a part of him and echoed through every fiber of his being. He lifted his gaze to the mountain and answered the call. With ceremony, the warrior placed the last weapon he carried at the base of the mountain, and a seed of knowing swelled within him, and abundant life flowered about him. From the laying down of the sword came the rising up of the man, and the warrior embraced the whispered words of spirit. "Where am I to go?" he called out, running unto the mountain. And the voice answered, "Come to me." And so he did. He walked amongst the hardwood trees and forests thick with the scent of pine. The path was set before him, the course charted from within. And in this manner, he was brought before the ancient altar of stone. As the warrior approached the stacked stones, claps of thunder heralded his arrival. Jagged bolts of lightning lit the night. And as his hand touched the altar, set in place by another man from another time, the heavens released the rains, and the warrior was cleansed in the water. The Magic. Just as night was settling over the portion of the mountain considered more sacred than any other parcel marked by man, a spirit, known in the realm of earth as Sabo, slipped from beneath a low-hanging bough of an ancient maple tree and caught the wind. The breath of wind followed the path of a winding stream until the body of water branched left. The wind did not veer, but continued on its course and carried with it the spirit, and she rode the invisible charger into the night. They rode as one until a jagged edge of lightning severed their bond and revealed the form of the warrior. The wind moved on. Sabo remained, still, quiet, invisible to the eyes of the warrior. At the sight of the ancient altar, he dropped to his knees. In his right hand, he scooped up soil and rocks. His left, he raised to the sky and petitioned God. "I am of earth. I am of spirit. Now I wish to see that of earth through the eyes of spirit." The rain stopped. The clouds moved from the sky, and God spoke to the heart of the warrior. "To do this, you must release all aspects of yourself that will not serve you and this purpose." Sabo waited. She did not stir, she did not move, she did not interfere with the communion between man and God. The warrior remained on his knees. Mother Earth held all things of her quiet, and in this sacred silence, the warrior called forth all aspects of himself that would not assist him in his mission to have vision in the light of spirit. And, as it was his desire to do so, he recognized greed and set it aside. He recognized pride and set it aside. He recognized anger and envy and judgment. He continued into the night, calling forth and recognizing those aspects of himself that were no longer useful. As he set these things aside, there came angels to take them from him. And when it was accomplished, the warrior stood, more of spirit than of matter, and he was filled with the light. And in the light, the warrior beheld Sabo. No words passed between the two, but the warrior followed her until they reached the place which was of forest and rocks and boulders and moving water. Sabo directed him toward a large rock at the edge of the mountain stream, and the warrior sat. When he turned around, Sabo was no longer with him. In her place came the light of day, and in the light of the new dawn rising, he saw the beauty of Earth. The warrior sat, making no sound, absorbing the magic, drawing it into himself. And, as he saw that of Earth through the eyes of Spirit, his hand found a small stick that lay next to the rock. His fingers instinctively curled around the diminutive branch of immense beauty, and he lifted it for closer inspection. It was from a tree, that of which he did not recognize or know by name, but the wood was exquisite of color and smooth to the touch. Further examination revealed 6 holes along the shaft placed in such a way as to remind him of a flute. So the warrior lifted the gift of the new dawn to his lips and released from within him the love which he felt for the beauty surrounding him. And when the warrior played, the white angel sang. She rose up from beneath the waterfall to greet he who had come. In her right hand she brought forth the shield of truth, in her left the sword of light, and their radiance matched her own white light. The warrior stood before the white angel who was bearing these noble symbols that were to be his. And between the two of them there came a shaft of light revealing a portal, a passageway to another time, to another space. And at this door of the dimensions, the white angel placed before the warrior the shield of truth and the sword of light. The warrior took them as his own and genuflected in honor of all that is holy. When he rose to his feet, they stood together as one, and the portal of the warrior and the white angel opened. Their union consecrated the passage between the dimensions as a doorway of light, and the first to cross the threshold was a massive white steed with the wind of eternity at his hoofs. The warrior mounted the ready steed, and with the white angel at his side, they left the place by the mountain stream and rode over the surrounding countryside, holding high the shield of truth, raising up the sword of light. And all they passed marveled at the sight, saw the light, and knew the truth. Then, leaving the countryside far behind, the warrior and the white angel returned to the place, which was of forest and rocks and boulders and moving water. And the warrior placed the shield of truth and the sword of light at the gates of the portal to mark the passage with a sign to show the way. And when it was done, the procession began. They came from every dimension through the portal of the warrior and the white angel. Each warrior passing held high a shield of truth and a sword of light. Each warrior passing carried a flute tucked into their sash of color. And with each warrior passing, there came a white angel, glowing. One by one, the noble gathering placed a shield of truth and a sword of light at the portal, creating a gateway of radiant light. What could they give us more than this, this tribute to the light? There was one more they wished to give, and they rode into the night. They rode from the forest, down out of the hills. They rode through the valleys or rivers and rills. They rode until morning, and just before light, they came to the field they had sought through the night. At the edge of the field, a procession they formed, with a warrior and white angel leading. They made not a sound. No dust of earth found disturbance in their passing. And they came to the place that had once been the space marked by the tree of many branches. Then, from the north and the east, west, and south, came the warriors of earth in great numbers. But no thundering hoofs crossed the vast field that day. Their reverence was marked by the pace and the way they rode in silence to join the gathering of earth and dimensions beyond. The warrior dismounted and moved from his steed, and bending, he placed his flute as a seed where once stood the tree of many branches. One by one, every warrior slipped down from their ride and unleashed the flute and the sash at their side and placed them with honor on the ground at the site where once stood the noblest of trees. Then, as they stood, without making a sound, there came a slight rumble. They each looked around. The flutes on the stacks began twitching and swaying, and some of those gathered began chanting and praying, and out from the flutes, the that were piled all around, there rose up a tree from under the ground. The tree was the grandest that ever could be. Each branch was a flute, and each flute was a piece of the majestic and magical tree. Then, to pay homage to what was to be, a breeze gently blew through each branch of the tree, and the song that it sang filled the earth and the sky. It brought some to sing, and it brought some to cry. They came, numbers strong, to hear the great song, and the tree kept on growing through the day and night long. Earth did not hold it from growing at all, and the tree grew up fast, and the tree grew up tall, and it swayed in the breeze, and it sang in the wind, and its song was of peace and the beauty within. Its song was of truth, and its song was of light, and its song filled each day, and its song filled each night. The great song of peace was heard over the earth. It covered the land from its moment of birth. It rang through dimensions, those near and those far. It circled the moon. It touched every star. Those gathered from earth and dimensions beyond slowly circled the field. And then they were gone, leaving only a man, an angel, and song. The angel reached out in the breeze toward the tree. And the tree waved its branches so grand, releasing one flute, which it placed in her hand. They were the last of the riders to slowly move on, and the warrior and angel departed in song. The reality. They returned to the place of forest and rocks and boulders and moving water, and there they remain. What, you might ask, does the warrior do all the night and all the day through? Well, he does not lift his shield of truth, as it is the foundation of the great gate, and he does not lift his sword of light, as it is set at the gate to show the way. But ever so often during the day, his fingers curl around the shaft of the flute, fashioned from a branch of the majestic and magical tree, and this instrument of immense beauty he does lift, and the notes that he plays are carried on the wind and wrapped in words sweet, from the lips of an angel. Hearken to the song carried on the wind, as the message is for you. Take it unto yourself, feel the vibration move into your being, and from deep within, you will hear the call. For you too are noble of birth, royal by right, so walk, noble warrior, into the light, and it will lead you to the place of forest and rocks and boulders and moving water. And there, at the sacred entrance to a portal of great light, you will find them, standing as sentinels to show the way. For at the gates of light they stand, with noble thoughts and deeds at hand. Occasionally they leave the sight, and fly together through the night, the warrior on his steed of white and angel glowing to his right. But in the world they tarry not, with speed returning to the spot that marks the doorway, meant to be a passage of light for eternity. So if you see them in the night, be still and watch their coming. And if you hear them in the night, listen to their humming. They are of light, their song of peace. So hear the words they say. The song will settle over doubt and melt all fear away. For you see, there is magic when the warrior plays and the white angel sings. And it is reality. Peace.